I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Now, increasingly concerning is the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, akin to the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russia concert hall. The threats from homegrown violent extremists, that is, jihadist-inspired extremists, domestic violent extremists, foreign terrorist organizations, and state-sponsored terrorist organizations all being elevated at one time.
That is, of course, Christopher Wray, FBI director, telling Congress over a couple different sessions, we are facing terrorist threats inside our nation. And most of it is due to the open border policy the Biden administration initiated when he went into office. He signed off on that. We're going to break it down for you in more detail as we go through over the next 2 hours. Biden, one of his first executive orders, he signed three of them, January 2021, and issued executive orders to reverse President Trump's strict immigration process, claiming that he was correcting things and making them better. Are we better across our nation right now since Biden stripped the Remain in Mexico policy and decided to open the border? Do you remember during the debates in the primary when Biden was facing Kamala Harris as an opponent, Hakeem Jeffries, and others, and the question was asked by the moderator, who on this stage is in favor of open borders? And all of them shot their hands up right away, except Biden was a little hesitant, kind of looking around, testing the wind, and his hand went up. So since that time, and since he became president, he's been hostage of the far, far left, which believes open borders are the solution of everything. They are the pathway to hell, and we're seeing it right now with this country and what we're going through. We're still the greatest country. We still have a lot of things we can do and improve. But look at what happened in the European Union in the elections a couple of weeks ago. The majority of the liberals, the woke, the green climate activists, the open border philosophers were basically kicked in the teeth because even members of Europe say, enough, we're tired of the inflation that you created for us. And also the open borders where we've got illegals flooding into all of our countries and our cities. And yet here in this nation, what do we get from this president? Oh, we'll restrict them a little bit. If they hit a certain number on a particular period of time, then we'll close up the border until we can open it again. Well, then if you can close it, it can't be closed. We got a lot to cover, and this is going to be a big week. We got the presidential debate tomorrow night, or rather Thursday night. So we don't want to forget about that. And, of course, here at News Talk STL, along with the Heritage Foundation, we're hosting Saving America 2024 at the Funny Bone, St. Charles Funny Bone, June 25th. That's tomorrow night. Joel Griffith, Zach Smith of the Heritage Foundation, speaking on the economy and the courts, Saving America 2024. You can get free tickets. We need tickets for you to get in so we can accommodate everyone. And you get the tickets simply by contacting us at newstalkstl.com. NewsTalkSTL.com. Again, it begins at 6:30, St. Charles Funny Bone in St. Charles. Saving America 2024. More critical than ever. All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are, June 24, 2024. And reminding you, this is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back for you. We're here every Monday through Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video for you. You can watch the program. You can watch it. How do you do that? Well, you go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. And if you miss anything, you want to go back and pull it up, listen or watch again, or at a time where you can spend more time on it, and then also share with others, please, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And would you mind taking a moment to click like, because it really messes with the algorithm of the internet hosts that try to shut us down from time to time. So the more likes we get, the less likely they're going to be touching us. But they're always trying. As I mentioned, we have the debate coming up later this week as well. I'll spend more time on that a little bit later. But let's go back to the issue, the concern issued by Christopher Wray, FBI director. Not once, but twice he told Congress earlier this year, we are facing some immediate serious threats.
Look.
And Tom Holman was a former ICE acting director, and he said, you have to understand what the American people don't understand is what's happening at the border is way out of control.
Look, this is about politics. Why don't they put this out? Because it'll put a spotlight on their failure of the southern border. As of yesterday, they got 367 people off the terrorist watch list have been arrested by this administration, just on the southern border, twice as many on the northern border. Under Trump administration, we had 11 to 13, depending if you want to count his time in office or the fiscal year. 13 compared to almost 370. I mean, at what point is this administration going to do something to secure the border? The reason they're not putting the bulletins out, they don't want to put a spotlight on their failure. Because what's going to happen, something's coming. I think we all know that. Christopher Wray agrees with me. And it's going to be blood in their hands because they're failing to secure the border. They know this is the biggest national security failure in this country in my lifetime.
Biggest failure in national security in his lifetime. And he is a former acting ICE director, which means it's the biggest failure in your lifetime. He was speaking specifically about this government has not issued a terrorist threat warning of any type, despite Christopher Wray making those statements earlier this year. The last threat that was issued by the government about a possible terrorist action, and be aware of it, was back in 2023, and it expired. It expired. They have not renewed it. They haven't done anything else. They don't want to startle the public and make you fearful going into 2024. It's simply that. They've decided, well, we're afraid it would become wallpaper. That's basically the approach. If we put up a warning every time there's a concern, it'll become wallpaper and everybody won't really pay attention to it. I understand that reasoning to some extent. And they say, we're only going to hold off any warnings if it's imminent. That means it's happening now. Too late for you if you're caught in the midst of it. But again, they know how they're playing this game. They're not issuing an alert for right now, and they apparently don't plan on doing so. Now, there is an issue, too, about how you go about vetting illegals. Now, when you start talking about vetting illegals, you have to keep in mind that you are limited in your information. ABC Face the Nation host Margaret Brennan was discussing with a voter over the voter's concern that Biden is not vetting the illegals, and then Margaret Brennan decided to basically argue with her.
Day one, that current President Biden was elected, he immediately, by the stroke of a pen, undid everything that President Trump had done in closing the border. We had security at the border. We were vetting the people that wanted to come in. He opened the doors without any vetting process. So it was his choice. He has to take responsibility for that, he and his administration.
You do know that there is vetting that border officials do when they encounter someone. They do. I've been to the federal facilities. When someone is detained, when they are captured, when they cross illegally, They are taken into federal custody, and those agents do vet people. The success of that vetting may be in question, the efficacy of it, but they are. If someone sneaks in undetected, then they're definitely not vetted.
No, they're obviously not vetted if they sneak in. Margaret Brennan could not possibly deny that. She had to acknowledge that they sneak in. We don't know about it, obviously. But again, as she was talking about the vetting process, she got into a discussion with Elizabeth Warren that's saying, no, they're still being vetted, and we're really doing better than what they were doing under Trump.
There have been more than 6.9 million apprehensions at the southern border. Thus far, in Biden's term, there were just over 2 million in Donald Trump's entire term. What did the president do wrong?
No, this isn't about what the president did wrong. Remember, on the very first day that he was sworn into office, President Biden asked Congress both for the resources and for comprehensive immigration reform. The Republicans blocked it.
Donald Trump didn't have that either, Senator. And there were 2 million during his entire
term. Until last fall, the president tries to deal with the problem that is presented to him. He can't deal with it if Congress and the Republicans continue to block him. And so the president is using the tools available to him, both to create border security, but he doesn't have the resources because the Republicans are blocking access.
But he is president. Understood. I do think you've made your point, but poll after poll, as Matt Rivers just pointed out, say that this is a very weak poll number for President Biden. Trump surpasses him by 17 points in trust and working the border.
And you can't get around that 17 points. Every time they want to discuss about illegal borders, they're saying they want to talk about the entire immigration package for the nation. That has nothing to do, it should have nothing to do with simply is your border open or closed, period. And again, back to the vetting process, Tom Holman, former acting ICE director, said the American people just don't understand, or at least those on the left want to ignore, what is the actuality of reality of vetting.
But people need to understand, the viewers need to understand the vetting process, right? We only can vet with the information available to us. So unless we're arrested in the United States and we find him in NCIC or III, which is state systems, or unless he was a part of a terrorism investigation, unless he was caught on a T3 wiretap talking to an associate, or unless he was encountered on battlefield by DOD, a soldier, and the retina scan and biographics were taken, most terrorists in this country aren't in any database. And he knows that. He knows that the majority of terrorists in this world are not in any database because they've never been encountered before. So you can vet them all day long and say you vet them. Okay, you vet them to a system that's insufficient. That's what he needs to tell the American people. And that's why, you know, terrorists are coming across the border at record numbers because they know they're going to pass vetting because a small fraction of them will actually be found in a database.
And you know where the Department of Homeland Security has been focusing its concern about terrorists inside the nation? I'm going to go back to what the Biden administration was doing under DHS, of course, Secretary Mayorkas. And this goes back to some internal files now obtained by American First Legal. There was a now disbanded board titled, created in September of last year, created Homeland Intelligence Experts Group with, quote, expert analysis on subjects like terrorism. The panel included Director of National Intel, former National Director of Intel, James Clapper, former CIA Director John Brennan, and both of those were the ones among the 50-plus Intel officers who signed an October 2020 letter saying the Hunter Biden laptop was false. Remember that? So these documents the board was working on in September of 2023 suggested, quote, supporters of the former president, Trump, accounted for, quote, most of the domestic terrorist threat in our nation. The board stated, there's a political backdrop to all of this. It seems that most of the domestic terrorism threat now comes from supporters of the former president. And then they get into if you've served in the military or you're religious. That's also an indicator of extremist and terrorism. This was underway in December, or rather September 2023, under the Biden administration. If you served in the military, you were considered a terrorist threat. If you were religious, you were considered a terrorist threat. Well, the board finally disbanded, tried to hide everything up, but now it's been uncovered. Now, tomorrow night's debate is going to be hosted, as I said previously, by CNN and NNN. But now all major networks have agreed to carry it. We will have it on our air immediately after we conclude tomorrow night. Reminding you also of the debate party we're hosting at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge. You can be there and watch the debate with us. That's going to be a lot of fun. There are still questions, obviously, about Biden's ability to do this debate. ABC News did this report on how Biden is preparing.
Now, part two of that, Phil, of that debate prep, it's going to be actually putting that into action with these mock debates. This is going to include a 90-minute formal debate where the president is standing up on his feet the entire time, trying to mirror what he's going to have to do in real time next week.
So, seeing if he can stand up for 90 minutes, that's part of the debate prep. Dr. Ronnie Jackson, who had been former physician for Trump, also Obama, has requested repeatedly, we want detailed information, cognitive tests on Joe Biden.
I have sent five letters previously asking for President Biden to submit to a cognitive test, very similar to the one that President Trump got while he was president. And all five of those letters have gone completely ignored. So tomorrow I'm sending a letter to President Biden, to his physician, Dr. O'Connor, and I'm CCing his entire cabinet. And it's embarrassing that I have to do this, and it's really embarrassing as a former White House physician to have to do something like this, but we don't have any choice based on what's going on. But I'm going to be demanding on behalf of many millions of concerned Americans right now that he submit to a drug test before and after this debate, specifically looking for performance-enhancing drugs. Because we've seen recently in his State of the Union address that there was a Joe Biden that came out that was not similar at all to what we see on a day-to-day basis for the last 3.5 years. And there's just really no way to explain that other than he was on something, that they'd given him medications. I feel like this is probably what's going on over this week at Camp David. You know, he's going to be at Camp David for a full week before the debate. Part of that is probably experimenting with, you know, just getting the doses just right because, you know, they have to treat his cognition. They have to give him something to help him think straighter. They have to give him something to wake him up, you know, for his alert. And then, you know, he's been agitated. We see that all the time, and that's a common symptom or sign of this cognitive disorder that he seems to be suffering from. And so they're probably going to give him something to take the edge off that as well.
Dr. Ronnie Jackson, former White House physician for many years, now a congressman from Texas. Yeah, there were many saying Biden looked like he was, quote, jacked up when he delivered the State of the Union address. I got something from someone the other day, said we may not really need to give Joe Biden a cognitive or performance-enhancing drug test. Maybe we need to do it with his voters. That may well be true. Coming up, how a doctor at the center of a Texas Children's Hospital transition worked with transsexual activists. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
My sponsor, Wellington Environmental, has helped thousands deal with hazardous materials. Hospitals, offices, schools, even homes. Here's something new. Wellington now offers dustless blasting. This is just like sandblasting, but without all the dust and emissions. Wellington uses everything from ground glass, walnuts, corn, even dry ice pellets. One university had Wellington remove their parking lot striping because dustless blasting is fast and it does not damage the concrete. So as a business or homeowner, I'm sure you could use this process. Industrial tanks, swimming pools, graffiti on buildings. And in fact, Wellington is blasting a Texaco station. that will be revised as an historic building. Check the website for details and photos. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, if the economy is stupid, we should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
If you haven't been to Lit Cigar Lounge in the District at Chesterfield, you're missing a great experience. Premium cigars, drinks, spacious seating, TVs in every direction. This and more explain why Lit was voted Best Cigar Lounge 2 years in a row. Now you can be at Lit and order Napoli Brothers pizza and pasta delivered to you. In fact, Napoli's just a few doors down, a coal-fired oven giving a unique taste. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, now open in the Chesterfield District.
Are you thinking about buying medicine online? A search for online pharmacies yields more than 20 million results. But which ones can you trust? Medicines bought from unlicensed online pharmacies can be dangerous. You may get a fake drug, your condition may get worse, or you may experience a bad reaction. Don't put your health at risk. To learn how to find an online pharmacy that's safe and legal, visit fda.gov/besaferx. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
A little over a year ago, the state of Texas joined 17 other states restricting transgender minors from accessing puberty blockers and hormone therapies. Of course, lawsuits started firing left and right all the way around. But there's another story inside Texas that's been taking place, and it's documented by an investigative reporter, Spencer Lindquist, with the Daily Wire, about a doctor working inside a children's hospital, Texas Children's Hospital, and a scandal in an alliance with transgender activists. Spencer, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much for having me.
So let's begin with who this doctor is and what he's been doing.
So this doctor's name is Richard Ogden Roberts, and he's a pediatric endocrinologist at the Texas Children's Hospital. And he makes his living in part by providing this type of medical intervention to children, puberty blockers, hormone treatments. And it was actually recently discovered that he may have been engaging in fraud, fraudulently using Medicaid money to fund these procedures in violation of Texas state law. But even while he was allegedly violating the law to provide these types of medical interventions on minors, he was trying to stop Texas's bill, SB 14, that would have banned this type of medical intervention. And to do so, he teamed up with a litany of different organizations, activist organizations, and I went through to document not only the work of Dr. Roberts and these activist organizations that he teamed up with, but also the backers, the benefactors behind these organizations, many of which happen to be big pharma companies and a big pharma lobbying group that have ties to the industry that profits from puberty blockers and from these hormone treatments.
Well, I see that you quote the doctor that he claims that, and again, in one presentation on behalf of the Texas Children's Hospital, he repeated the line that child sex procedures, quote, are life-saving and medically necessary.
That's exactly right. He said that these are life-saving, this is life-saving care, which is a line that we've heard from a lot of these different transgender activists. It's become a bit of a catchphrase or a slogan for many of them. And he also said something else that was very striking in this same video. This is a quote from him. He said, it may not be safe to use their affirmed name. He's talking about children. Their affirmed name in front of family members. So he was telling his colleagues in the medical industry that you might actually need to use a different name for a child. Say if the child's name is John, you might need to call him Jen, saying that you should use their affirmed name to affirm their gender identity, even when parents are unaware. So obviously he's somebody that believes in transgender ideology, and this is what we've seen throughout really this sector of care. We've seen that there is an alliance between many of these doctors and many of these big pharma companies and radical ideologues.
And again, every time they say gender-affirming care, I quake inside until I get to an eruption point and say, basically, it's gender-deforming care. And here it is at Texas Children's Hospital, which has always been in the decades past seen as a great, safe place for children to get the best care that they could at that point. And now, what is the status of gender-deforming care across the state of Texas?
Well, right now, there's actually an ongoing investigation from Attorney General Ken Paxton. He's looking into whether or not this clinic committed fraud. And if it did, Dr. Roberts and the other doctors involved could have some pretty hefty penalties out of their way. But that, of course, is pending the investigation from the Attorney General. We do know that they actually said that they had closed the clinic. This was right after the bill had passed. They were found that they actually had been maintaining some of the operations of the clinic. So really, there has not been a whole lot of transparency from this clinic, and that, of course, is compounded with the potential issue of fraud. So we're awaiting these investigations, and we're going to see what they procure.
All right, so on one side, you got the state bill passed by the Senate, signed by the governor, House and Senate, signed by the governor. No more of this in our state. And over here they say, well, what, we just put it in a different back room? We put a different name on it? In addition to Medicare fraud, not only for them and the hospital, there are a lot of more snares here that I see.
It's certainly, the fight is certainly ongoing, and right now we're yet to see how the clinic responds to it. We know that after Christopher Rufo's report where he documented this alleged fraud, and after several other reports, the clinic realized that they were facing public backlash, and they actually started scrubbing their website of some of the profiles of doctors like Dr. Roberts, as well as others. So this is something that is current, it's ongoing, and this investigation really will almost certainly bring things to a head here. We'll see exactly what is found by the Attorney General's office, and that, I'm sure, will decide the fate of the clinic and of these doctors.
I'm looking at this, if it's Medicare fraud and if the doctor is involved and or the hospital, are you suggesting the hospital is directly involved in Medicare fraud as well?
Well, what we're not sure of right now, what we do have is a whistleblower report. This was something that was documented by Chris Rufo. And that whistleblower, who was a nurse at the hospital, said that Medicaid was being used to those who were enrolled in Medicaid were being given puberty blockers, were being given hormone treatments. And Texas state law very specifically says that is not allowed, that Medicaid cannot be used for these types of medical interventions.
Are we talking about on either one of them, be it the hospital and or the doctor, just civil charges or criminal?
I think this depends on exactly what is found in the investigation. It's rather early because the Attorney General has just responded to this recent journalistic finding. So we're yet to see exactly what this might include. I don't believe charges have been brought forward or anything of that matter. So this is really in its early stages. But what we have seen is that an ongoing question is the extent to which the rest of the hospital was potentially complicit in this alleged fraud. We don't know if this is just specific doctors or if this is something that maybe higher ups at the hospital were aware of. But regardless, that question could certainly raise the scope of this investigation.
You're listening to Spencer Linkwitz. He is a investigative reporter for the Daily Wire, also with the Manhattan Institute, Logos Fellow. And I'm looking at all the details you put into this piece. And again, you nail it when it comes down to the Transgender Law Center, which was among those representing Roberts and the others, boast big pharmaceutical backers. Surprise, surprise.
That's right. There were many. And it was actually rather shocking as I went through and I investigated this, because Big Pharma has their fingerprints on both the plaintiffs and on the legal institutions that are actually representing the plaintiffs in this lawsuit. So it was quite shocking. And one of these organizations is called the GLMA, and effectively what it is the transgender LGBT activist group that is comprised of medical professionals. And Dr. Roberts is a member of this organization. Now, you go through and you look at who sponsors this group. We've got PHRMA, that is one of perhaps the largest pharmaceutical lobbying group. And under their purview, they have AbbVie Pharmaceuticals, which creates a very lucrative puberty-blocking drug that's actually been used to chemically castrate sex offenders, in addition to being given to young children to block puberty. You've got Pfizer, you've got several other of these corporations that do produce, manufacture, or distribute these types of drugs. So when you see an entity like this lobbying group behind something that is that Dr. Roberts is a member of, behind a GLMA, which was on this lawsuit as a plaintiff, you know, it really does raise questions about this alliance between people who use their medical prestige, their medical credentials, and their backing, and then marry it with transgender ideology to try and give it credibility. We've certainly seen this type of relationship before, and I don't think it's coincidental.
Have you documented cases where a child was undergoing or present for at least consultation for, quote, gender-affirming, as they want to refer to? I still say gender-deforming. And they were not there with their parents, that some members of the LGBTQ community or those who believe in transgender activity were bringing the child in under different names or trying to hide their initial contact.
This is an instance where we see the ideology really does come in, and that's why so many people, I think, are skeptical of the medical ethics surrounding this, skeptical to say the least, the medical ethics surrounding this, because in many cases, if not in all cases, you see the role of ideology encroach on what people profess is simply medical best practices. And this is an instance here, like I mentioned with Roberts earlier, he was talking about using a name that is associated with the opposite sex to refer to children, and doing so behind the back of parents.
So the child probably is there, the minor is there, without parental knowledge anyway.
That's potentially the case. And even if the parents are in another room, or even if the parents are down the hall, whenever a doctor says something like this, that we are going to be using a different name, and we're going to be using one for the child, and we're going to be another one for the child when that kid is in front of the adult, that really does raise some very, very important, very pressing questions about the role of ideology. And whenever it's tried to be passed off as something that's just about medical interventions, this ideology really, really comes into focus.
All right. Again, Spencer Lindquist, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Coming up, we have a LGBTQ member who says, hands off kids. We should not be pushing kids into transgender. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
John Beale knows that right after a hailstorm, new roofing companies start popping up everywhere. But the Small Business Administration reports 96% of them go out of business within the first 5 years. So how good is that warranty? John Beale started in the roofing business, helping his granddad and his dad. Always offering the best roof, best price, best guarantee. John Beale Roofing, not some fly-by-the-night operation. Call my friend John, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
Hey, this is a great time to get fantastic deals at Ackerman Toyota, number one volume dealer in the area. Why? Very simple. They want to make you happy. They'll come up with a deal that puts you in the driver's seat. You'll be smiling as you drive off the lot. You got a trade-in? You're going to get top dollar from Ackerman. Looking for a premium used car or truck? Ackerman is the answer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
He's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in the mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
He is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
My sponsor, McGuire Moving, has job openings for drivers and movers offering competitive pay. You can be off every night if you want or on the road. You're off every other weekend. Full benefits, insurance, paid vacations. But McGuire is a very good company. So here's a very important requirement. You must excel in making customers happy. Full or part-time job? More information, go to McGuireMoving.com. Apply online at McGuireMoving.com/careers.
This is News Talk STL.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Children should be, you know, protected. They're young, they're vulnerable, they're impressionable. They need to be protected, hence why we at least used to agree that they don't have then the right mindset to consent to certain things like voting, like smoking, like drinking. But all of a sudden, picking your gender is one of those things that they just think, yep, that can happen. It's lit a fire under a lot of people on the left, because the second someone on the left, all they have to say is, I don't agree with the trans kids. Boom. They get transphobic, homophobic, but you're a Trumper, this, this, and that. And constantly, time after time, the left eats their own. But there's a lot of people waking up. It's just like there's a lot of people that just aren't vocal about it, because obviously the backlash is real. But if you navigate this world trying to make sure and dictating that everyone looks at you how you want to be looked at, you've lost the plot and you're weak and it's sad. I'm not saying anything outlandish. I'm about as rational as you can be. I'm really calm and very respectful. A lot of things I say are rooted in fact and truth.
Fact and truth. His name is Amir Odom. He is a black, gay, liberal turned conservative influencer. As his own podcast has been influencing a lot of people, and he's acknowledging now, maybe I've been giving you the wrong signal, and especially when it comes to children. He said this trans topic gets lit a fire under a lot of people on the left, because the second someone on the left says, I don't agree with the trans kid thing, boom, then you're suddenly considered transphobic. How can I be transphobic? I'm gay, I'm lesbian, whatever. No, now you're transphobic. He said, I don't agree with the trans kid thing myself. And yet pretty much the left saying, yes, you should let a kid transition. He said, I'm not going for that. I cannot defend that. I've told you previously about numerous gay conservatives that exist. Some are my friends and some are members of the Log Cabin Republicans, the largest gay group supporting Republicans, and the Republicans are been counting on them a great deal for additional support and votes. Not just to expand the tent just because they need more people supporting, but to be more inclusive. Recognizing we may have some differences, but there are some things that we all agree on. And my first and immediate principle amounts to protect children. And, of course, with that also goes patriotism. Amir Odom has been using his platform for some time to speaking out, but there's another influencer who has been sparking debate that's often ripped by other social media sponsors. The creator commented, this particular creator commented, there's a young boy with a very liberal mother. He can't say that he, quote, would not have been put on puberty blockers today. What he's suggesting that is, if we were in this day when I was growing up and this attitude, and I decided I like dresses or playing with dolls, my mom might be swayed to the point, even without me asking, I think my child needs to be, quote, reaffirmed, quote, reinvented, quote, castrated. Clarkson Lawson is one of these identified as another influencer and states, the goal I thought was to stop reinforcing gender norms, to stop saying that boys like blue, girls like pink. But now it's becoming to the point where if you're a boy that likes feminine things, it's time to send you to the butcher shop and get you on hormones. It's entirely regressive, and it does make me angry. And she added, it's entirely been captured by Big Pharma, which stands to make a lot of money off of transitioning kids. Stop and think about that. Once you castrate a young boy and put them on puberty blockers, you chop healthy breasts off of a young girl, put them on puberty blockers, and maybe add additional surgery to them. They are on a lifetime of drugs, a lifetime of drugs, which is exactly what some of these big pharma companies want. It's one thing to be marketing something like, let's say anything from aspirin to Tylenol to Advil for alleviating a little pain or whatever you have at the time. And you might have to be on that for a long time, if not forever. It just, your aches and pains demand it, or your job gets you in situations where you just need it at night for a little ease or even during the day. But we're talking about people who make a point, either with or without parental consent, and sometimes with parental nudging, to go out and change their life forever. If it became acceptable and a way to identify as someone different, that everyone without a right leg would get special treatment, is that what we would then do? Chop off right legs of healthy people just so that they can be inclusive in another group? And if you dare say they did it for just the reason to be included, then you were, I don't know what term would you use then. Homophobic wouldn't work. But that's exactly what's happening right now with kids and with those who are trying to push this ideology on them. And as you were hearing from my prior guest, what's happening in Texas is just one example of what's happening around the nation, where states have passed laws, 16, 17 of them, that we do not allow that in our hospitals, and they find ways to get around it. And they've got a whole company of lawsuits filed against them. And behind those lawsuits are money often from pharmaceutical companies and others who think it's okay to take a child and put them through that. We need more folks like Amir and others that are gay, but recognize you've reached a point that I can't do that. I cannot say it's okay for a child to be subjected to this. When they become of age and they make their own decision, so be it. And a lot of folks may coach them and push them to that direction, so when they get to that age, they go ahead and do it. We are so out of whack right now, and our nation is more out of whack than others when it comes to this. Britain and numerous other European countries have fully banned any so-called transgender affirming care. They banned it. And I remind you, every time you hear somebody speak about transgender affirming, you just substitute one word. You're talking about transgender deforming, because that's what you're doing. This last weekend, we had a mob show up at a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, a pro-Palestinian mob, blocking the entrance of an Orthodox Jewish synagogue. Israeli government spokesmen are saying that Israel should completely condemn, quote, the absolutely shocking violent protest against Jews by pro-Palestinian activists outside a synagogue in Los Angeles Sunday. There were violent clashes between these pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli counter-demonstrators who arrived to defend the synagogue. Security officers, Los Angeles Police Department, also had to clash with the pro-Palestinian activists. One said there was an absolute shocking image of Jews being attacked and subjected to violence on the streets of Los Angeles. And he raised this simple question. Where do they attack? Outside a synagogue. This is Jew hatred. Even if you're on the Palestinian side, he continued, why you go outside a synagogue where Jews go to pray? He had a message, he said, I want shared with Jews in L.A. and around the world. And the message should be heard and echoed. He said the way to face down this Jew hatred is not to hide behind even bigger and higher walls, but for Jewish people to wear their identity with pride. We have faced many, many difficult times. We will overcome this one as we have others in the past. And I call on Christians and other Jews to take note of that, and even Muslims who are not into Jew-hating, or any religion, or no religion, hating someone because of their religion. Now, not every Muslim, as I've told you, is a jihadist and wants to kill Jews, but every one of those who hate Jews and want to kill them often are linked to Muslim religion. But they're more jihadist than religious. All right, so Thursday we have a debate coming up. And President Trump, or rather former President Trump, to be accurate, was at a rally over the weekend, and he talked about something that he considers to be very important. And he also released a little tease about a vice presidential candidate for him. That story when we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C, the Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The people of our country are looking for hope. Whether they're white, brown, black, or anything else, they're looking for hope. They're tired of being called stupid people all over the world. 4 years ago, we were so respected, and now we're being laughed at.
Yeah, we are being laughed at and ignored and considered not so great anymore around the world. Biden also the other day, over the weekend, was at an event in Philadelphia when he was asked, have you decided on a running mate? He said, in my mind, yeah, I have. When asked if he's the person he's already picked is aware, Trump responded, no, nobody knows. And then he added this. Here's your teaser. He added the person he has picked will most likely attend Thursday's first debate. He said, they will be there. But then he also added, I think we have a lot of people coming. So there may be several names that have already been surfaced, and they will all be there, but I don't know if he's actually going to declare that night or not. What I am hearing from many, like from NBC, Meet the Press, they were raising the question about maybe Democrats just need someone else instead of Biden.
Mitch, if there's so many other good Democrats out there, why not hand the reins over to a different Democrat this go-around where you would take away the concerns about his mental fitness to serve?
Well, first of all, Joe Biden doesn't have any concerns about his mental fitness, nor do I. I've spent an incredible amount of time with Joe Biden. That's just a fade that the other side is pushing. Joe Biden has taken this country from being in a cataclysmic downfall to actually leading the world once again, and he's going to continue to do that. And he has built up an entire new generation of leaders that will govern this country really well into the future. And so he succeeded masterfully in both of those things.
Yeah, he has really put leaders in position to lead us to a path to destruction. Rachel Levine in the Health Services Department and others he's put in place that want to carry our nation right into the world of wokeness. And that response from a top Biden advisor, Mitch Landrieu, saying, Joe Biden doesn't think he needs any cognitive test. Well, of course he doesn't. And then Mitch Landrieu saying, I've been with him all the time. I don't see any need for anything like that. Of course, they want you to forget the images that were portrayed recently, and there will be more to come. And the real focus is, as I told you earlier, how ABC Network said one of the things Joe Biden is doing to prepare is standing for 90 minutes. See if he can stand for 90 minutes. I'm surprised that since he wanted certain things done that he didn't say we will be seated. They may end up changing that before they get to the debate. And I will say again, if perchance he begins to falter and gets kind of comatose and everything, I think it would be great for Trump, not for a stage act, but to truly, genuinely go over and check, Mr. President, are you okay? Do you want to continue or do you want to stop? Of course, that'll blow everything up for Biden. Next hour, you don't want to miss it. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.